Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Throws a matching pass upfield. Reggie Tom Fears gathers it in on the dead run and races all the way to score from Los Angeles. A 72-yard touchdown play.
First down inside his own five from his own end zone. Sacked and a safety on Rudolph. Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews got to him.
Inspired by the presence of Captain Jack Youngblood, playing in pain with his broken leg. A savage Ram defense.
They hand it to Steven. Great jump cut. 45.
Sends a whole burst through it. 20.
Steps a tackle. Runs left.
25 still on his feet.
46-yard goal by number 39.
Running back number 29, Eric Dickerson.
Johnny Hecker, a high school quarterback, is going to throw. The fake is on it. He's got a first down to Stephen Bailey.
Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
Rams Talk Radio with Derek Ciappala and Michael Stewart.
Welcome to Rams Talk Radio. This is Derek Ciappala with our Houston, Texas, Los Angeles Rams preview. The Rams are on the road this week. That's right, all the way down in Houston, Texas. Our guest today will be Houston Sports Talk's Robert Land, who will take a look at the Texans for us, give us the lowdown on where they are, and just a hint, it's not looking good. Not looking good at all. Just to be honest. That said, there are lots of good stuff coming out today. Injury reports out as well. Let's take a real quick look at that before we get with Robert. For the Texans right now, Justin Britt, limited. Mark Ingram, they just traded for the guy. Christian Kirksey, limited. Justin McCray, limited. Deshaun Watson's not interrelated. He's out. Brandon Cooks, not on the list today. Rex Burkhead, limited. Khalil Johnson, limited. Farrell Brown, limited. It's looking an awful lot like they'll have a quarterback back this weekend, but it's not. It's not Deshaun Watson. We'll talk with Robert about that. For the Rams, a little more difficult. Right now, Andrew Whitworth, knee injury, did not play. Jordan Fuller, knee, did not play. Robert Rochelle, knee, did not play. Sebastian Joseph Day, knee, sorry, chest, did not play. Terrell Lewis, ribs, did not play. Now, Aaron Donald, full. Jalen Ramsey, illness, did not play today. So, those are some big names. Now, I don't know if it's just extra rest because of these injuries, just trying to get them ready for the weekend. I mean, these guys are all veterans, especially Sebastian Joseph Day, Andrew Whitworth. Rochelle's a rookie, but he's played the game over a long time. I just don't see that, you know. Some things at least, I will find out. We'll find out. We can get some lowdowns and head into Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon as to how this game's going to go. But it's still the Texans right now. And the Texans are not in a good place. We'll find out again in terms of what Robert has to say. Before we get over to Robert, I want to ask you to head over to Apple Music. We'd really appreciate a 5-star review. That'd be good stuff. I promise. Good stuff. Also, don't forget to subscribe to us anywhere you listen to a podcast. We're on Apple Music. We are all over the place, from Pandora to good old fashioned iTunes. So, which is, I guess, Apple Music. I had a senior moment there. Don't mind me. It's late in the week. All right, without further ado, let's bring Robert in.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, folks, here's Robert Land from Houston Sports Talk. He's got a lot going on right now because his Astros are in the World Series. That's always good stuff for his side. Now, in the meantime, talking Texans, that's a different story, but he might be getting the Rams at a good time. Let's find out. Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And yeah, that is the story here in Houston, the Astros. The Texans, not so much.
Not so much because, I mean, we talked preseason and it wasn't looking good. And now just this past week, we start seeing the Deshaun Watson rumors going around again. I mean, what's going on with the Texans right now?
What's going on is what we expected. The Texans have zero talent. They have a head coach that nobody was really after, that feels like he's been over his head with trying to do something with this team. But honestly, I don't know if anybody could do anything because the talent's just not there offensively, defensively. And then the one bright spot was Tyrod Taylor, who was looking good the first game and a half. And then he goes down with an injury. Davis Mills comes in. And, you know, Davis Mills, as a quarterback right now, looks like a backup in the NFL, potentially. And maybe he's a back end of the league starter, but we're not really seeing anything that screams that this guy is a future top 10, top 15, what you build your team around. He's a placeholder, really, at this point. And Tyrod Taylor, much the same, but much more talented. And, you know, you can win games with Tyrod Taylor. I just don't know if you can win games with Davis Mills, but they got a lot more problems than this. And we can get into all that for sure.
So, well, first things first, is Tyrod playing?
Right now, as you and I are speaking, we don't know yet. They are going to come up with a decision on Friday. I am willing to be wrong on this one, but I think if he's practicing, which it sounds like he is, then he should be playing. And what David Culley has said since the injury is that Tyrod Taylor is the starter as soon as he gets back. He made no bones about it. He said he earned the job. He's not going to take a job away from a quarterback because of an injury. And Tyrod Taylor was his guy to start the season. And of course, you know, at this point, if you want to win games, which I don't know if the Texans do want to win games this year, but if you want to win games, I would say Tyrod Taylor is the guy to go to.
I mean, I guess that's a key question. Do they want to win games? I mean, they've been trading people left and right. I mean, you just shipped out Mark Ingram, right? No? What's the deal?
Mark Ingram is gone, and I was wondering what Caserio was going to do. He has not impressed me at all as a general manager. He made a lot of moves over the last few months for getting guys that are just stopgap guys that all he got back in, or all he did was give away late round draft choices. And the Texans need all the draft choices that you can get. They need cheap talent. They were left with a terrible cap situation, thanks to you know who, if you follow the Texans, the guy that everybody hates, Bill O'Brien. And they've also been left with a roster that's depleted of any young talent, anybody that you're excited about that's a draft pick, or barely anybody. And they made some draft picks in this past draft, but one of those was Davis Mills. And I don't know if he's a starter, and why you're wasting a third round pick on a guy that's not a starter. Nico Collins, wide receiver, second round. They traded picks to get up to draft Nico Collins. And I'm just not a fan. I don't know what you think. I'm not a fan of trading draft choices to move up when you're a team in rebuild mode and you need all of the shots at the lottery that you can get. The numbers say that you just get as many draft choices as you can, as opposed to, okay, I'm going to move up a few spots, or I'm going to move up a little bit and around, especially if you're in a rebuild mode. If there's the one guy that you've got left, Derek, that's the guy that's going to put us over the top, then it makes some sense, you know, if it's a impact player. But the Texans aren't in that situation. So yeah, Caserio, it should be interesting to see what he does, because he can get some of those late round picks back if he trades some of the veterans that they have available that I guess might have some interest around the NFL.
So what's that really do for guys like Brandon Cooks? We saw Brandon Cooks' response on Twitter, and it wasn't exactly a nice response. He's regarded, at least in some NFL circles, as a leader in the locker room. You would know better than I would, though. What about guys like Brandon Cooks?
Brandon Cooks is the leader. He called out the whole team, basically saying that they're not accountable. And it was a shot, I think, at the team, maybe the organization, maybe the head coach, just a couple of weeks ago. So Brandon Cooks is the de facto leader, because he's the best player. He's the most consistent player on this team at this moment until Tyrod comes back. And again, that's going to be potentially soon. But Tyrod Taylor and Brandon Cooks, you know, they had a good connection. But yeah, Brandon Cooks, if I'm the Texans, I'm looking for somewhere to trade him. I'm looking for anybody on the Texans right now that's not a recent draft choice. I'm looking to trade that person, and I'm trying to get as many draft picks as you can, because this team's going nowhere fast and they're a terrible team and they're getting crushed. They're getting beat to death on both sides of the ball. The offensive line stinks. Part of that is, at the moment, they don't have Laremy Tunsil. He's out. They also lost their starting right tackle, but they weren't looking good before that. They got no talent on offense, as far as, besides Brandon Cooks, there's nobody that you're really all that excited about. And on defense, there's no impact defensive players, and the secondary is terrible. So that's where you are right now.
Now, when you're looking at this weekend, though, you're getting a Rams team that's, for the first time this year, really beat up. When we're looking at the injured list right now, the Rams are missing several key guys. Starting, you know, at the top right now, we're waiting on the word with Andrew Whitworth, our left tackle. Jordan Fuller, our starting safety. Sebastian Joseph Day, starting defensive tackle. Terrell Lewis, rotating on the start for linebacker. We just trade away, which we're still kind of wondering what's going on with that. We just trade away our starting linebacker, our starting inside linebacker. Aaron Donald it says rest for him, but his knee was aching this week, and Jalen Ramsey, who did not play today with an illness. So this is actually the most banged up the Rams have been all this year. But even all that in mind, is there any reason to worry?
I don't think there's any reason to worry, unless Tyrod comes back and he looks 100% and all of a sudden he can turn around this offense. The defense has been bad, but part of the problem has been the fact that not just that they don't have a lot of talent, but they're on the field all the time. I mean, the offense can't get anything going. It's just bad. They've been terrible, and the defense has got to be out there a lot, and they get worn down in the second half. They've been outscored, I think, since Davis Mills has played. They've been outscored 102-10 or something like that in the second half. It's bad, and you know, maybe Tyrod can put a little bit of a thumb in the dam or something like that. But you know, the Texans are still according to Vegas, they're still 14.5 point underdogs, and they've been especially bad on the road this year. Of course, the first road game that Tyrod played in, he gets hurt in the first after the first half and doesn't play in the second half, and they were in the game against the Browns. Thanks a lot to Tyrod. So, yeah, that would be my only concern is if Tyrod's playing and he looks 100%, maybe he can get it going a little bit, but the offensive line's got a lot worse since he got hurt. So I don't know what he's going to have as far as protection is concerned. That's part of the issue, too, is, you know, Davis Mills wasn't getting any help. His offensive line wasn't good at run blocking, and they were bad at pass blocking. It was all the way around, just a terrible job by the Texans offensive line. You know, part of it is, I think, talent. I don't know if the offensive line coaching is all that good, but these guys have never played together. A lot of them, they shouldn't even be on an NFL team. I mean, that's the problem is the Texans just, again, I keep saying it over and over again, no talent. You know, thank you to Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain and all these GMs that the Texans have run through in the past 3 or 4 years that just haven't got the job done in the draft and just left them with basically nothing.
So all that in mind, what happened? This was a franchise that competed for the playoffs seemingly almost every year. I mean, they were kind of hard luck, struggled to, you know, to win that big one, to get back, you know, get to a Super Bowl, but they were competitive. Now all of a sudden, it's almost like they're an expansion team. And worse, actually, because with an expansion team, you get all the high draft picks right away to at least start building your team. That's not what I'm getting from you. So, I mean, what happened?
Well, what happened is pretty simple. DeAndre Hopkins got traded for a bag of beans. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL. Your quarterback that was able to carry this team with not all that much talent at times outside of DeAndre Hopkins, he is not playing anymore. You know, we know that story. And then Bill O'Brien just, you know, he tore it up. He traded guys that were halfway decent, like, you know, like he just didn't care. And then he trades away a ton of draft picks, so you get none of those. And, you know, they just haven't drafted well. You know, it didn't help that J.J. Watt got old. You know, we know what's going on with him. He's looks like he's out for the year with the Cardinals. And so, yeah, you got no J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson. And those guys were in a lot of ways carrying this team, you know, over the last few years to where they were. And it's a terrible division to begin with. So you were getting these playoff appearances thanks to the fact that Jacksonville is a disaster. The Titans, not so good, although they've looked good the last 2 or 3 years. And then you got the Colts that have, you know, been off and on since, you know, they just haven't got it together since Andrew Luck. You know, that's a big issue for them as quarterback. And, you know, Andrew Luck was hurt here and there. So, yeah, it's a bad division. So they were getting in the playoffs, but usually it was 9-7 records. It wasn't like they were 11-5 or 12-4. They had that 12-4 season a few years ago, but it was made on the back of really a terrible schedule. They beat up on a lot of teams that had bad quarterbacks or injured quarterbacks. And so they got to 12-4 there, but we could see it all unraveling. And in Houston, you knew what was happening because we knew Deshaun Watson was kind of carrying things along with DeAndre. And you know, there just wasn't a lot of talent elsewhere. And if you got a great quarterback, I mean, we know it in this league, it covers up a lot of faults.
I mean, that's what Peyton Manning did in Indianapolis for so long. They were able to cover up so many issues in Indy because of Peyton Manning. And then once Peyton Manning was gone, everything got exposed. And I think we saw that, we're seeing that now with Houston. But Houston to me is even worse. I mean, I'm just looking at a franchise that, I mean, there was a time I thought, man, Houston's eventually going to win a Super Bowl. I thought, you know, early on here. Matter of fact, the last time the Rams were playing the Texans, I remember interview, I forget who we interviewed for, but my after watching that game, this is 2017, I thought, you know what, the Texans aren't far. They get a draft right, and the Texans are going to be top of the conference. And now, 4 years later, we're looking at a Texas team that really is, you know, this is Detroit Lions level stuff right here.
And they're the worst franchise in the NFL. And Deshaun Watson was covering up a lot. And we also in Houston never thought that they were going to a Super Bowl with Bill O'Brien. Unfortunately, Bill O'Brien just, you know, wrested control of the franchise away from Cal McNair. You know, Bob McNair died, the Texans owner. And that's the real story that I don't think people around the NFL understand is once Bob died, he gave it to his son, Cal McNair. Cal McNair is basically running the team. Cal McNair, not a smart guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's one of those silver spoon owners that just he's been given everything. And, you know, he decided to basically hand the franchise over not only to Bill O'Brien, but quietly, you know, the stories have been out there, but he handed it over to Jack Easterby, some, you know, basically he was a minister, preacher with the Chiefs and the Patriots. And all of a sudden he's running the Texans. Him and Bill O'Brien became buddy buddy, and Jack Easterby was just stabbing people in the back to the point where they finally gave it over to Bill O'Brien. But Jack Easterby was making a lot of those moves. They became partners in crime, and Easterby was the one that hired Caserio because he knew him in New England. But I mean, you know this, Derek. Look, the Patriots have not drafted well in the last decade, and a lot of that's on the back of Nick Caserio. He was in charge. I mean, yeah, Belichick's got to take some of the blame there, but you know, Caserio was the guy. He was the player personnel guy with the Patriots, and it wasn't good. Outside of Tom Brady just carrying him, and again, you get a great quarterback and it covers up a lot of faults, and that's what he did over the years. And basically Jack Easterby brings in this Patriots guy that was his buddy, and they have the same agent, so that's part of the deal. They were friends through that, and you know, I guess you know, Easterby says, "Oh, I can get you the job, Caserio. I'm going to get in over here, and I'm going to get you away from Bill Belichick." And I just think nobody understood around the NFL that Caserio wasn't doing that great of a job. And once Brady's gone, you realize it was built on a paper house in a lot of ways. I mean, Belichick can do some things, obviously, scheme-wise, but they're not that good without Belichick, without Brady over there.
That's the amazing thing. That's another great example of once you lose that quarterback. But, you know, even in Brady's last couple of years, I remember in the week of the Super Bowl, and I talked to a Patriots guy, Matt Chatham, and he was telling me, you know, all these things about Brady, and I'm sitting there going, you know, what are you talking about? Brady looks like he's 45. He looks his age out there. He looks slow. His reaction speed is slow. And he said, no, it's not. Brady is just as good as he's always been. And he insisted on this. And he kind of offhand hinted that there's other things. And then sure enough, he realized, okay, look at the roster, and they had traded away Cooks to the Rams. They hadn't drafted well anywhere else. Anybody they brought in was via trade or free agent, and they were already gone usually. So you realize, you know, the Patriots did a lot of maneuvering around the draft and didn't have a whole lot to show for it. And then a moment, Tom Brady's gone. He's excelling in Tampa Bay like he's 25 years old. And look at the struggles in New England. Not even Bill Belichick can fix it.
Yeah, it's such a mess here. And Cal McNair is not going away as the owner. He was in a little bit of hot water just in the last week or so because a story came out that he told people at a golf course locally here. There was a crowd, and he made a speech or something where he, you know, called it the China virus, COVID. And so, you know, he had to back off on, you know, that was an issue. So, yeah, he's, you know, he's a mess. I mean, he's incompetent in just about every way that you can imagine. And that's not going to change. I mean, they're not giving up the Texans, and nobody's going to the game. I mean, the season tickets have all gone away with the Texans. Nobody is interested in going to the games. The stadium is, you know, fairly empty right now. And this was a franchise that for years, it was like sellouts were guaranteed. They were a lock cinch, even through the struggles, even through the early, of course, the early years, you get some automatic season ticket holders to buy in. And when you get that franchise, but you know, after the first two or three years, you figure some fall off, but no, it continued. And the Texans weren't good until 2011, 12, 13. That's when it finally happened. But that was 8 years of struggle. And even with all that, people were coming there. People were still excited, wearing their Texans gear and doing all that sort of stuff. This is a football state. It can be a football city at times, but I think it's more the state that's football than the city. There's just no interest in this franchise because they don't see it going anywhere, and it's a disaster, and it's going to take years to fix what Bill O'Brien did in just 2 years, just throwing away draft picks. The Laremy Tunsil trade, giving away two first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil, was terrible. He made that trade as though Laremy Tunsil was the difference between the Texans going to the Super Bowl and not going to the Super Bowl. Two first rounds and a second-round pick for Laremy Tunsil. I mean, just anybody that knows anything about the NFL knows that everything that Bill O'Brien was doing was just awful. Was awful. DeAndre Hopkins literally gave the guy away, a second round pick for the best wide receiver in the NFL. And then they got a terrible contract. Also, they got David Johnson's awful contract, who's still on the roster somehow. Still there. Nobody understands that. Why is he still on the roster? He's not good. He's a third down back that they're paying, way overpaying to be a third down back right now.
When you look at this franchise, and you mentioned the once rabid fan base, is there any public pressure building against the organization for them to do something like sell?
I don't know if you can have that public pressure to sell. There's no way to do that. How do you get an owner to sell? Daniel Snyder's still there. I mean, that guy, if anybody should be gone, it should be Daniel Snyder. He has screwed it up left, right, and center, and he is still, still owns a team in Washington. It's nuts, and that's the NFL. You own the team. You can screw it up practically any way you want to. Somehow, Jerry Richardson got forced out, but he was old, and I think the NFL sense that, like, oh, we kick him out. I mean, he's in his 80s. It doesn't matter, but, you know, Cal McNair's not going anywhere. He's a relatively young guy by NFL owner standards. So no, nothing's going to happen. And Cal McNair is tone deaf. He doesn't understand. He thinks everything is great. You know, I think he just has, you know, yes people around him, and he lives in his own little fantasy world. And no, it's not changing. I don't know what happens first, whether the league starts to say, hey, maybe we should help you a little bit, run this franchise a little bit better. But you know, they're probably happy because they see Caserio as a Patriots guy. Well, he's a Patriots guy. He knows what he's doing. But I don't see it right now. I don't see him knowing what he's doing. I mean, he looks like much more of a real general manager after you had Bill O'Brien the last couple of years, but that's not saying much.
I mean, if you look at the Patriots assistants that have gone on to be head coaches, Romeo Crennel wasn't successful. Josh McDaniel was not successful going back to the Patriots. Charlie Wise?
Yeah.
Wasn't successful. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Bill Belichick tree isn't exactly one to be proud of. Bill O'Brien, shoot. Bill O'Brien was part of that tree. Why go back to that tree? That doesn't make sense to me.
Where nothing makes sense with the Texans, because they got Cal McNair running the franchise right now. And, you know, Bob McNair wasn't doing a hell of a lot better job. But, you know, I think Bob McNair was a little bit more connected to the NFL. I feel like he understood the NFL game a little bit better. I don't know if Cal McNair even watches football. You get the sense that he doesn't. Bob McNair would have press conferences, post-game press conferences, like little, you know, it'd be right outside the locker room. I was right in the middle of all that. And he would do that typically after home games. And, you know, he would give his thoughts on where the team was. And you felt like he understood what was going on. He had a really good relationship with Jerry Jones. They had known each other for a long time. So Cal McNair, at least I thought, had a little bit of an understanding of the NFL. You know, there was a lot of stuff that was not good with Bob McNair, but, you know, his son, just, they call him Tommy Boy. The people inside the organization, he was known as Tommy Boy amongst the people that worked for the Texans from what I have heard and what I understand for the last several years before he was the owner. Before he was the owner, that was his nickname.
Wow. I got no words for that. Robert, I have no words for that. I actually called him Tommy Boy. All right. Well, all that in mind,
I'll give you a little bit of game stuff since we've got, you know, off track on what the Texans are. The guys to look out for on defense, if you're the Rams, Jonathan Greenard has looked good. He's a young player that has potential, which is a very rare thing with the Texans, but he's come up with some sacks and good job rushing the passer. Really good week last week, and he's in his second year, and he's developing high pick in the draft. And Amenihu, who was a fifth round pick out of UT, who's looked pretty good this year when he's been allowed to play. He's one of their best players, but for whatever reason, they say he's not practicing well, so they've made him inactive for a couple of weeks. But he was back playing this past week, so I assume he's going to be playing again this week. But who knows with the Texans? You have no idea what's going on with this organization. The one thing that I will say is that Lovie Smith is doing about as good a job with this defense as you can do. I mean, there's just nothing there, and he's done a pretty good job with them. And last year under Anthony Weaver, it was a total disaster. Anthony Weaver did not know what he was doing as a defensive coordinator. At least Lovie Smith, you know, he's got the cred, you know, been to Super Bowls, and you know that guy is one of the few guys in the organization that I think really knows what he's doing. Tim Kelly as an offensive coordinator, he's not too bad. He's done a good job. He really looked good last year with Deshaun, and it was the best Deshaun had looked since he started in the organization. The offense looked much better than it did with Bill O'Brien calling plays or Bill O'Brien pretending to give the playbook to other people, but we knew Bill O'Brien was still calling plays. So Tim Kelly, he's a real offensive coordinator. If you give him some talent, I think he'll be better. And he looked good earlier in the year when Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback. So I like Tim Kelly and I like Lovie Smith. David Culley, just he's clueless, I think. You know, he's more brought in for his positivity and his people skills and sort of the anti-Bill O'Brien. And they wanted maybe a yes guy. I don't know what they wanted, but he is not a real head coach in the NFL as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, there was a reason why he'd never been a head coach until now, right?
Right, yeah.
He's been around the block a bit.
He was a position coach. That's what he was. He was never even a DC or OC. And, you know, there are rare circumstances where something like that works out, but he wasn't on the lips or on the minds of anybody that was hiring, for a head coach. He was not somebody that was in the running for any jobs. He was not somebody that was thought of as, oh, this guy is somebody that should be a head coach somewhere. And, you know, I just didn't understand that hiring, and nobody in Houston understood the hiring, and everybody was frustrated and ticked off like they were with everything that the Texans do when he was hired.
So last thing before we get out of here, what is the deal now with Deshaun Watson? Is he ever going to, is there ever a chance he'll wear the uniform again?
Oh, of course not. No, that's over with him. I mean, there's been rumors the last couple of weeks that he would be traded by the deadline. I think it's stupid to trade him by the deadline, but the Texans might do it because they're stupid. But you don't trade him at the deadline, because as soon as he is traded, he's helping to make the draft picks that you just got for him worse. If he goes to Miami, Miami might be a quarterback away and they might start winning games. You know, I can't stress enough how stupid it would be to trade him right now. You wait till after the season. You can do it the day after the season. That's fine. But there's no way you should trade him right now. It just makes no sense. And it makes the capital that you get in return for him not that good. And that's all they've got. That's the real hope that they've got, is a quick rebuild is you get a bunch of draft picks. But, you know, my confidence is zilch because Caserio is making those draft picks and he doesn't know what he's doing. So they can get all the draft picks and all the good draft picks that they want,
But Caserio, I know will screw them up because I don't think he knows player personnel whatsoever.
Well, you're looking at, you know, looking at him and not him but Deshaun Watson, and if there wasn't a possibility, why all the rumors?
Why the rumors of him playing?
Of a trade.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying it would be stupid if it did. No, I believe the rumors could be true, but it would be stupid if they did it. That's my point.
And now watch, come Monday, you'll see the trade report.
It wouldn't surprise me. You know, that for sure. I mean, just get prepared, I guess. I mean, that's, you know, the thing is, if it's done now, the good news for the Texans is nobody in Houston is paying it. Well, they're not paying attention to the Texans anyway, but they're especially not paying attention when the Astros are in the World Series. So if you're going to trade them right now, I guess that's a good thing because you're not getting as much negative publicity as you would. And, you know, I don't know. I don't think it at this point, I don't think it matters. I don't think you can get people to care about the Texans. They need a new owner, or they need this owner. One thing that he could do is fire Jack Easterby, who is still in the organization, who everybody still see as the puppet master behind everything. They think he basically tells Cal McNair what to do, and we have no reason not to. That's been every report that we have heard, is that he was the reason Nick Caserio was hired, and that basically is the organization for you in a nutshell, is this guy that has no football acumen, experience, background in anything outside of being a, you know, a minister for the Chiefs and the Patriots. That's his background. He is running the organization. He is basically Joel Osteen running an NFL organization.
Wow. Man. Okay, well, can you let folks know where to find your work? Hey, you got stuff going on for the Astros too right now, so where can they find you?
Yeah, that's what you got to pay attention to if you're in Houston, and we're doing Astros post games quite a bit after the playoff games, the last couple World Series games, but we're Houston Sports Talk. HoustonSportsTalk.net is the website, but just look for the podcast on all your podcast apps, Apple, Stitcher, Google, anywhere, Spotify, anywhere you can find podcasts, you should be able to find Houston Sports Talk.
Awesome. Well, Robert, you're always my guy for Houston Sports, so I'm glad you can make it tonight, and we'll talk to you again, hopefully, in the offseason with some better news.
Thanks for having me, Derek. Good to talk to you.
Right, take care. I want to thank Robert Land for making the time for us. He's always full of interesting information, and that's the preview I got for you. I mean, there isn't a whole lot going on. I'm still a little baffled at this week's trade. Kind of wondering what's going on with that. I'm expecting a corresponding move by the trade deadline next week. I just can't imagine the Rams sitting there making room by restructuring deals and making trades and knowing that there's a depth problem at linebacker in the secondary right now. Got injuries in the team. I'm a little baffled at what we've seen, but you know, we'll see how everything works out. We'll be back for the post game. All right. Follow us on Twitter at DC Apollo. Talk Rams to the overall site. We'll see you Sunday. I hope you all enjoyed that interesting preview. Man, Robert was lit. He was on fire about the Texans. We'll see you later. Have a good one.